It is September 22nd, and we just want to say hello to everybody back home listening to us again. You're here tonight with Josh, Julie, and Josh doing this installment of our podcast. And so we just want to welcome you and bring you up to date on what's going on. So we're going to work our way through the day today. We woke up early, especially early, for our last morning on the shores of Galilee, and then took off from there. And our first stop was the Jordan River.
That's right. And as we went down to the river, there are different images coming into our mind. Of course, this is the river from Scripture in which Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit descended upon him. The skies opened up, the words of the Father heard from the sky, "This is my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And for me, this brings back images of some of my studies, but especially different Easter vigils and baptisms in which I've seen, in which you have a new person coming into the church. And especially in this place, when back in Jesus' time, one side of the Jordan River was the land of the Gentiles, and one was the land of the Jews. So a very visible sign of someone coming from maybe exile or from a place that was out of the district of their countrymen and being brought back into the fold as an example of being cleansed from their sins.
You know, the thing I think I'm struck as is the more we make our way into our pilgrimage is the distance between each one of these locations and how long it must have taken for them to walk. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this by bus and we do it 20 or 30 minutes at a time or even a couple hours at a time, and we think we had to wait a while. But they were all on foot, you know, and the sources of water that you find in these areas. I mean, we're in desert most of the time, so to find a source of water really kind of enforced for me the image of life and that baptism brings. The water is the source of life here in the middle of this barren and mostly brown desert.
They didn't have air conditioning either. I suppose they might have had mules or camels to ride on, but that was about it.
Not fast enough to get a breeze. Julie, did you get any water to bring home?
I actually didn't.
No.
Thanks for asking. That's the negative. Yep.
No.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that were bringing some back. I know. I think you got some, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to take some home.
Family's probably sitting there going, "Why didn't you get any?"
There's only so much room in the suitcases. I don't think I got any rocks from Galilee, although a lot of people brought rocks home from Galilee. And you know, only so much room in the suitcase.
It was interesting, too, because the area that we were was very green around the river. And as we traveled further south, you know, it was, I mean, gosh, it was probably only about where we were, maybe, I don't know, 100 feet wide?
Yeah.
Would you say? And, you know, as we traveled further into the desert, you know, I could hardly even see it, and kind of gave you more of the image, at least in my mind, of, you know, the baptisms that took place back during Jesus' time, where everything's, you know, desert around and there's just this stream in the middle, kind of. So that was, you know, interesting to see that later on, how it just went from being really green and kind of steeper sides to more flat and just very small.
Yeah, and as we traveled throughout the day, on our left, on our eastern side, continually following us all the way to Jerusalem was the Jordan River, and that strip of green that Julie was talking about. That through this desert, there was this little source of life that kind of winding its way through the countryside. But we made it to Jerusalem, and spent and a brief amount of time in the city before making our way to a checkpoint to go into West Bank territory, to Palestinian territory, because that is where the city of Bethlehem is. And so we found ourselves with a new bus and a new driver going into a new territory to find unexpected things at a very old and very sacred church. Josh, what did you think about the checkpoint?
It was interesting. It was just a very visible sign of, you know, even though there are movements and I suppose desires for peace, there's still divisions within the land here between the Palestinian and the Israeli people. And even though both of them in different ways embrace the multiple faiths that are part of this land and embrace, of course, people coming to share in these things which they hold so sacred, that there are still some very visible and very real divisions that are there.
And Julie, what did you think when we went through the checkpoints? Was there ever a time that you felt either safe or unsafe? How did that come across to you?
Yeah, no, really it was a lot, simpler than I expected. I was kind of one small area. There was an area where the buses could park and, you switch the bus and then you just go through this one street. Really, that's what it almost looked like. And we were sitting in the back of the bus, maybe we couldn't see as much, but, I expected to see a lot more patrol, maybe. It was very, I hardly even felt like I was going through a checkpoint, really.
Yeah.
So.
Except for the occasional soldier walking by. I mean, it wasn't like there was, tanks standing by.
Right, no, right, exactly.
Everybody carrying guns. It was just.
No.
It was like going through a toll booth almost.
Well, it was neat too because.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, right, yeah. Except, there were some signs about peace. That's, one thing that I noticed. Go in peace, return in peace. And so that was kind of neat to see that at least.
Yeah. And so we drive through probably like 10 or so minutes of the Palestinian area to get to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And we pull up to it and we walk over. It's kind of a courtyard square in which everyone is gathering. And maybe what are some of the first words that come to mind when you see this church from the outside?
I guess the first thing for me, having seen pictures before where we're, whoa. This is it. We're sort of going through these back streets, or at least streets that I've never been on before, and not really knowing where I was going. We enter this courtyard, and I see this tiny door, which I had seen, like I say, from different pictures. It's a funny story about the doors to the Church in Bethlehem of the Nativity. Is they were originally, great big, almost Roman-style doors, and then later on it was a smaller archway, but still a fairly large door. And then even later after that, I think with some of the dangers of invasion, the door was made very small, so that almost everyone would have to duck through. I think there was no one in our group that could go through the door standing up, maybe a young child. But in addition to that very practical reason for making the door so small, it also has the effect of needing to bow down in order to enter into this sacred place. And also being able to humble ourselves in that way, the way in which our Lord humbled himself to become one of us. And it's very appropriate for that church.
So we go through this door from kind of the blinding midday light into this church.
Right, exactly.
And Julie, what did you think about the church when we got into it?
The first thing that just comes to my mind is ancient. I've never been in a church that old, I think. And I'm trying to remember the area that we were in was close to about, 6th century? Emperor Justinian had rebuilt it after the first church by St. Helena, was built. So, St. Helena was the mother of Constantine. So she, you know, she had traveled to the Holy Land and just took a great interest in building these churches over the holy sites. And, you know, eventually that was replaced by the church, I guess, built by...
just an
yeah. Sorry, I had a blank there. A lot of history for me, but
yeah.
And you know, just the columns, you could see the painting still on them at the top. You know, the bottoms were worn down, and the paintings were still there. And I mean, it was just I've never felt, you know, like I was taken back in time as much as I had been.
No, it really was a trip back in time. And as we made our way into one of the lower, I wouldn't call it a crypt area, but definitely a lower area of the church, we had to go down some steps where we were able to then venerate the Star of Bethlehem, the place where the manger was. And we hope you enjoy some of the pictures from that. We'll hopefully get those up in the next few days. But we then got to celebrate Mass, and Father Scott led us in celebrating Mass. And for an opening song, we sang O Come All You Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the first time, I was really struck by the words of the song. Instead of singing along and thinking about accompaniment and singing harmonies, but the words that, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And I think Father Scott felt it too, because when he opened the Mass, that the Lord be with you, you can kind of see in his eyes how he was caught up in the moment. And I think a lot of us were too, and that there were probably not many dry eyes in the room at that time, but it was a wonderful experience being able to celebrate Mass down there and think about the site in which we were on. I mean, I remember that Star of Bethlehem and what was there.
In talking in the homily, Father Scott also had brought up the different churches that were present in that space. Most of the churches that we've been to already this week, whether it's in Cana or in Galilee or in Capernaum, there had been multiple sites on which this church, whether it's the Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church or whichever major church, claimed that this was the holy spot on which this particular event happened. And in some ways, that's a little troubling to think that, you know, whether it's different politics or different histories of the different churches created some sort of division in the locations of these holy events, even though they were all roughly within the same area. But for the Nativity, it was one large church, or at least one large building, split up into three individual churches, for the Armenian Church, the Orthodox Church, and the Catholic Church. And just seeing that unity there was very affirming, not only for naming this the one spot of this event, but also just in the unity of the Christian Church as a whole.
Yeah, it was great to see that. And then even at the site of the Star of Bethlehem, the stone which everybody venerates, where the manger was, you had to basically crawl down on all fours to get inside this little area. But above that hung a little box, and it was an offering box, and it said on it in English, "Poor box." And Josh was mentioning the homily, and in the homily also Father Scott mentioned how appropriate it was that that's where that box is hung, above the site where Christ entered the world, of humble origins, you know, poor himself, often relying on the care of others. I mean, so many images swirling around in our heads. Mass is definitely a wonderful experience. But we left there, and there was just a little bit more to see, and we left the chapel of St. Jerome, where we had Mass, and went to the chapel of St. Catherine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The guy that was with us was telling, and I hadn't really noticed, I guess I probably haven't watched Christmas Eve Mass on television, but that area is where they hold Christmas Eve Mass that's televised around the world. So listeners out there that have, you know, been homebound maybe during that time would recognize it. And the guide even, she, I think, lived in Bethlehem her whole life and said she's never, you know, been able to get in. It's just packed. And they, one cool thing that they do is there's kind of like a side chapel maybe, and the baby Jesus is there. So during the Mass, they take baby Jesus and they go down to the area where the star is and put baby Jesus there. So, you know, that's, I thought, was really, really poignant. Hopefully I'll have to tape that this year and check it out. You know, that the fact that we were there, and you know, just that they do that, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think it's always tough to realize that we are at these spots that we've read about and heard about in Scripture for so long, all our lives. And so, you know, as each one of these podcasts, these pictures and these writings we send you all come along, we hope that you get a taste of the Holy Land. And one day, if you're blessed to be here, you'll kind of understand in a different way what we were experiencing as you get to experience it for yourself. But, like Jesus, today we picked up and left Galilee and came to Jerusalem, where we'll be winding up the final, I guess, 5 days of our trip. And so, saying goodnight to you from the rooftop of our hotel in Jerusalem, enjoying some of the fruit of the vine tonight. It's Josh.
Julie.
And Josh. Saying goodnight.